Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Work continues to assess and repair damage from Friday's big earthquake in Anchorage. The response was complicated over the weekend by high winds and rain. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports.
The Anchorage School District has canceled all classes for the week as it continues inspecting buildings, with schools set to reopen next Monday, December 10th. City Manager Bill Falsey told reporters that at this point, service to just about all utility customers has been restored.
The earthquake and wind events we have dealt with them on the utility side, on the electric side. I think that portion of the story is largely resolved.
NSTAR, the local gas utility, is working its way through several hundred backlogged reports of residential damage. The precautionary boil water advisory has ended, as testing has shown no evidence of any bacterial contamination in the water supply. The main remaining problem, Falsey says, is the highway heading north of Anchorage, connecting Eagle River and the Matsu Valley Borough.
The Glen Highway is going to be a continuing challenge as we step into the additional phases of this response. If you don't need to be on the Glen Highway, you probably should avoid the area.
State offices are closed Monday. Many services at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson are suspended, and both military and civilian staff are asked to check with their leadership about reporting for work Monday. The city is also canceling work for some employees, asking people to stay off roads and work remotely where they have the options, particularly commuters north of Anchorage.
It's not going to be a normal municipal Monday. Many of the buildings that we have will not be open to the public.
The Department of Transportation is hoping to have some of the most damaged sections of the Glen resolved by Wednesday, but speed limits will stay at reduced levels. The Seward Highway is open, but officials are asking people to stay off of it, as impending weather could cause rock falls along the road. At the port, ships are arriving regularly, meaning there's a typical supply of food and fuel available in the city. Already, $5 million has been passed through the Federal Highway Administration to help with repairs. City police, fire, and transportation officials all stress. With winter weather coming and repairs still going on, do not use the roads unless you absolutely have to. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
Small tremors continued to shake the Anchorage area over the weekend, but state seismologist Michael West says the risk of larger aftershocks of magnitude 4.5 or greater has probably passed now.
Slowly, over the next few weeks, next couple of months, they will kind of drift into the background and people will kind of forget that these are aftershocks.
West cautions that smaller tremors will continue for an extended period.
Aftershocks from it are something that we will be recording, years from now.
Beyond that, West says he's reluctant to offer any specific predictions regarding future seismic activity.
But I know well that people want to look for explanations. They want patterns. What's going to happen next? What does this mean?
West says the same geologic process producing the South Central Alaska activity is at work in many other areas of the state, including the interior.
We saw it in 2002 after enough pressure had built up on the Denali Fault. We had a very significant magnitude 7.9 earthquake, felt strongly in Fairbanks, Anchorage, pretty much across the state. That was several hundred years of pent-up stress being released.
West says Friday's big earthquake serves as a reminder of the importance of being prepared. Mike Dunleavy is being sworn in as Alaska's new governor today. The event is being held in the Northwest Alaska village of Norvik, the hometown of Dunleavy's wife, Rose. The village is proud to host the ceremony and spent the weekend preparing. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
Rhoda Johnson has known the family of incoming First Lady Rose Dunleavy all of her life. She's chopping celery in the kitchen of Akaluk High and Norvik Elementary School.
I think this is for the soup. They got caribou meat, so they're going to have stew.
More than half a ton of food was shipped into Norvik for the occasion. Local residents are providing caribou and salmon. The event is expected to draw up to 700 people to the school.
And we never have an inauguration in Norvik before, so this is kind of new to us.
Mary Carter is chopping onions and carrots a few feet away from Rhoda. She first knew Rose Dunleavy, then Rose Newland, as a sweet and intelligent classmate.
I can't believe it, that the lady of our village is a first lady.
School principal Faith Jers has kept an eye on the gymnasium where the stage for the ceremony is being assembled and on the kitchen.
They transformed our humble kitchen into a 5-star restaurant, I think.
Jurs says Norvik is happy to host the event.
It's a wonderful honor, and I think it's cool. I think it sends a message that rural Alaska is important.
She says the event provides a lesson to the school students.
You can do it, rural Alaskan kids. You can be the governor of the state or the first lady of the state, and it's an important message, and I think our kids are hearing it.
The swearing-in for Mike Dunleavy and for Lieutenant Governor Kevin Meyer is at noon Monday. Dunleavy is scheduled to fly directly from Anchorage to Norvik Monday after canceling a planned snow machine ride from Kotzebue. Governor Bill Walker and Lieutenant Governor Valerie Nuihalu-Davidson are staying in Anchorage to work on the earthquake recovery until their terms end. In Norvik, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
Members of the Fairbanks North Star Borough Sustainability Commission are putting the finishing touches on an ambitious plan to improve the area's food and energy security and solid waste management. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
The Borough Assembly established the Sustainability Commission a little over a year ago and charged it with advising them and the mayor on, quote, maximizing public health, safety, and self-reliance, among other things. To carry out that impossibly broad mandate, Commissioner Jimmy Fox says he and the other six members of the panel decided to start with the basics.
Food security and energy security and waste reduction.
Fox says commissioners arrived at the three sustainability priorities by aggregating the public's specific suggestions and concerns. On food security, for example.
We got a lot of comments on need to see more community gardens, see our local farmers be more successful, get more local foods in the grocery stores, have more food on the shelves in case there's a supply disruption.
Likewise on energy security.
A lot of interest in switching, you know, our power sources to more of a cleaner, more renewable energy. There were people that were very focused on energy efficiency.
And on the need to reduce production of solid waste that mostly goes into the landfill.
There was, of course, you know, a lot of interest in recycling and composting food.
Commissioner John Davies says the waste reduction effort would build on the borough's revamped recycling operations and focus more attention at the front end of the waste stream.
How do we reduce the amount of stuff that comes into the borough that needs to be disposed of? You know, how do we reuse materials that otherwise would be buried in the landfill?
Davies is a former borough assemblyman who wrote the ordinance that transferred the Borough Recycling Commission's responsibilities to the Sustainability Commission. He also served as the Assembly's Recycling Commission liaison. He says the Sustainability Commission's next big challenge will be to establish a means of determining whether it's succeeding in improving food and energy security and reducing solid waste production.
We want to develop some metrics for measuring what our food security is, and then seeing if over time somehow that measure would increase, that we would have more food security.
But first, he and Fox say the commissioners must complete work on the sustainability plan, which they say they'll submit to the Assembly and Mayor in January. Davies says the commissioners will probably talk about that in an Assembly work session next month, when they'll also submit a progress report on this year's work and talk about plans for the coming year. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
And I'm Dan Bross.